Welcome to another edition of Locked On NBA. On today's show, we'll recap Houston's pummeling of San Antonio, which pushed the Spurs out of the playoffs, and review the rest of Monday night's action.
Then we'll talk about Kawhi Leonard's potential return on Thursday before previewing Tuesday night's slate of games. It's Locked On NBA. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On NBA. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and FanRag Sports. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romillo, credentialed NBA writer and head of the league at large for SB Nation, FanSided, and FanRag Sports. And you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomill13.
Let's start with Houston's 109-93 win over San Antonio. The Spurs were without LaMarcus Aldridge, Manu Ginobili, and of course Kawhi Leonard, who's yet to return. We'll get to that story a little bit later on. But the Rockets jumped out to a 13-4 lead, and then Greg Popovich pulled his starters despite already missing so many players midway through the first quarter. Then the bench, led by Davis Bertans, got the Spurs back into the game in the first quarter. But that's what about as close as it got, David. San Antonio just couldn't keep up with Houston. James Harden puts up 28 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists in a rout. There's just not much that any team could do, the Spurs or otherwise, when James Harden is playing like that and Houston is shooting the way they did.
Yeah, Harden actually had a subpar night by his standards. Managed only 6 of 17 shooting, but of course did get to the line quite a bit as the league's leading free throw shooter, 14 of 14 at the line. But the concern is for the Spurs, who dropped to 10th and are now in a three-way tie with the Denver Nuggets and Utah Jazz, all three teams at 37 and 30. The Spurs currently out of the playoff picture in the Western Conference.
Rare to see the Spurs not in the playoff picture at this point in the season. Let's move on to the next game. The late night game on ESPN, Portland defeating Miami 115-99. The Trailblazers extend their win streak to now 10 games. With Houston dropping their game against Toronto over the weekend, the Trailblazers have the longest win streak in the league right now. They led by as many as 19 points at the start of the fourth quarter, but the Heat got it down to 3 with about 6 minutes left. But that's when Damian Lillard did what Damian Lillard does. He hit a pair of threes to extend the lead, and they didn't look back after that.
Yeah, the Heat were a little shorthanded without Hassan Whiteside and Dwayne Wade. And obviously both of those two players missing in action really hurt Miami's chances of knocking off a team as hot as the Portland Trailblazers. Whiteside's absence was particularly notable, with the use of Nurkic going off tonight for 27 points on 12 of 18 shooting. He dominated the paint, and Miami just had no answer for him. But of course, Lillard was the star of the game, 7 of 14 from three-point land. Finished with 32 points overall, just totally cooked on Miami, and it was amazing to watch. They're playing at a very high level. Miami, of course, still holding on to the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference, but clearly overmatched against the Trailblazers.
Yeah, it was interesting. Lillard, he's obviously been playing at an MVP level lately. Miami cut the lead to 6 with about 7.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It was at 93-87, and that's when Terry Stotts, I guess, had seen enough. He checked Damian Lillard back in there. And Miami met Damian Lillard with a different pick-and-roll defense. Lillard had been just shredding Miami through the pick-and-roll. And they were doing this defense where they switch against Lillard and then double-team him at the level of the screen. And that actually stopped Lillard for 2 straight possessions. And then he hit threes on on 2 of the next 3 or 4 possessions. So he figured out really quickly. I mean, there's just not much you could do against a guy like Lillard. Next game we want to go to is Oklahoma City versus Sacramento. This was actually the closest game of the night. Oklahoma City edging out the Kings 106-101 in what's amounted to a really fun series throughout this season. Carmelo Anthony, Paul George both put up 21 points. Russell Westbrook has his 99th triple-double of his career. Oklahoma City, they escape that game with a win, and they are actually, they're 8-3 in their last 11 games after struggling a little bit earlier. They're beating up on some easier teams in the schedule, and they're solidifying a decent playoff position here.
Yeah, they're fourth in the Western Conference currently, so they're managed to stay at competing for a home court advantage. But I'm still concerned about Oklahoma City's ability to knock off these teams. Like, they shouldn't be struggling to pull out a win against the Sacramento Kings, who are, as you well know, not playing at a particularly high level this late in the season. A five-point win shouldn't be something that a true title contender should be pulling out against a team like Sacramento. They were without Steven Adams, who did suffer, I think, a thigh contusion and was out for most of the game, only played 20 minutes or so. But still, you know, with a team as talented as Oklahoma City, to be able to escape so closely against a team like the Kings, not necessarily showing that they have what it takes to really make a strong push in the playoffs.
They're missing Andre Roberson. They've added Corey Brewer to sort of replace him. He chipped in 16 points there. They're getting nice contributions since signing him. But obviously, that's a big step down from Roberson. Want to give a shout-out to Bogdan Bogdanovic. 19 points on 6 of 11 shooting. 3 of 7 from 3-point range. 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And he kind of kept the Kings afloat there in the second half. Let's move on to the final game of the night. And that was between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Memphis Grizzlies. Milwaukee beating Memphis pretty easily, even though it got scary there a little bit late for them. 121 to 103. And the story here, David, was Brandon Jennings. It's his first game back with the team. He had spent most of the season in their G League affiliate after playing in China last season. He almost had a triple-double in his first game back.
Absolutely. 16 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists. Really strong showing for Jennings, who was obviously in his second stint with the Bucks. But I think also the story here is Memphis dropping their 18th straight, now at the bottom of the standings and across the league there. So the Grizzlies, the grit and grind era, obviously going through some refurbishing there. So it's going to be a tough time in Memphis, but hopefully they'll have a good draft to look forward to.
Yeah, Memphis cut the lead down to 6 points, 97-91 late in the fourth quarter. But they've got the longest streak in the league right now at 18 games in a row having lost, and they weren't ready to give that one up. So that does it for tonight's action. Only 4 games. Nothing too wild happening in the East or the West as far as playoff standings go, other than the Spurs, of course, dropping down to 10th. But that could change overnight in the West, given how things are going. Let's move on to our next segment. The Celtics are dealing with some major obstacles on their road to the playoffs. But first, a quick reminder that Locked On NBA has moved to a new 5-day-a-week format. Think of it as your bite-sized briefing for the most important stories around the league. So subscribe to Locked On NBA on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'll preview the biggest games of the night later on. But David, we mentioned the Spurs at the top here, and they are certainly struggling lately. Again, falling out of the playoff race in March, a rare sight for San Antonio. But they are targeting Thursday versus the Pelicans for Kawhi Leonard's potential return. And Leonard, of course, has missed most of the season dealing with injuries. But is it too little too late for the Spurs? If Kawhi Leonard does return Thursday, is that even going to help at this point?
Well, I think it'll undoubtedly help. I mean, it's not going to be a smooth transition, even for a player as talented as Kawhi and for a system as firmly in place as San Antonio's. Any player who's missed that much time is going to struggle to adjust. I mean, I'm not sure if he'll necessarily come off the bench, but it wouldn't surprise me altogether. He just needs to be able to figure out how to play. Well, I mean, a lot of the players on this team, some of the younger players in particular, he might not necessarily be experienced in having played alongside him, although I'm sure he's been practicing with them. But, you know, that's not quite the same as game situations there. So for Kawhi, it'll be adjustment. For the rest of his teammates, it will be as well. I don't expect him to be a dominant player either, not like we've seen in the past where he was an MVP candidate. So I'm curious to see how that transition takes place. It's going to be a rocky one, I would expect, but it's certainly going to turn around eventually, even though they only have a handful of games left. Should be enough to help them maybe solidify the 8th seed or perhaps climb up to the 7th seed, who knows. But, you know, it's certainly a good thing for the Spurs to welcome back a player like Kawhi Leonard. Now, of course, everybody's talking about how they'll potentially match up with either the first or second seed in the Western Conference, a Houston Rockets team that the San Antonio Spurs have knocked off previously in the playoffs. That would be an interesting matchup. I think a lot of people would look forward to seeing.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more dubious on Kawhi actually doing much for them. I think that the Spurs were at the start of the season made up of a bunch of pretty good role players and LaMarcus Aldridge playing at an all NBA level. And Aldridge is still doing that when he's healthy, of course, and he's on the court. Kawhi's been out for so long, and it's going to take him a while to get back into playing shape, right? And let alone playoff shape, you know? And you couple that with having to work him back into that system, taking some shots away from LaMarcus Aldridge, who's been basically dominating the ball season long, and he's been effective doing it. But you start right. having to play that sort of game there of trying to ease Kawhi back in, and there's just not much runway left in this season. I mean, there's only about 15 games left. I just don't know if that's enough time to get him acclimated. And hypothetically, even if it were, you're still looking at basically Kawhi Leonard not quite in playing shape and LaMarcus Aldridge with kind of an antique game and just not much else happening there in San Antonio for them. I just don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. If you're the Spurs, obviously you want to see Kawhi Leonard back and you want to sort of sweep this whole tension about the injury under the rug. And I think that would be the most important thing for San Antonio, is just sort of getting past the injury and moving on.
Do they make the playoffs, in your opinion?
It's Greg Popovich, man. I can't see them not. I feel like if I had to bet a dollar right now, I would say, yeah, the Spurs make the playoffs.
But you don't see them being able to knock off either Golden State or Houston in a 7-game series.
They just don't have enough. Like, Kawhi may have been able to slow James Harden down a little bit tonight, but like, they've just got, you look at Houston, you look at Golden State, they just have so much around them. And right. I don't care. The Spurs just aren't that deep. They're just not. All right. The next story we got here is that in Boston, they're dealing with a bunch of injuries too, just like San Antonio. Unfortunately, that's what we're talking about tonight, is all the injuries. At this late in the season, it doesn't bode well for the Celtics. They're now without Daniel Theis. They're out without Marcus Smart. They're still out. They still don't have Kyrie Irving, who's still out with knee tendonitis. Jaylen Brown out with a concussion still. They're dealing with a lot of things here, and just, it's not a good time if you're the Celtics to be dealing with all these injuries, especially if they've having gone through most of the season relatively healthy. It's a tough bump in the road for them.
Well, relatively healthy considering they lost their star player, Gordon Hayward, in the first game of the season anyway. But Kyrie's injury and Jaylen's injury, I mean, they're expected to return back relatively soon. Of course, Jaylen Brown has to go through the concussion protocol, and the tendonitis, Kyrie doesn't expect to miss a number of games, so he's expected back soon. The Marcus Smart injury is a much more interesting one, or concerning one for Celtics fans, in that he's seeking a second opinion, but he could be out, as you said, indefinitely and for a prolonged period of time there. So that's, you know, whether or not he regains his full strength, whether or not he's able to make a deep impact. He's a player that does so much for Boston's defense in particular because of his switchability and his ability to draw fouls and opposing players. As for Theis, he's been a really nice backup for them. He's a season-ending injury, so he's done for the year. With their depth already a concern, I wonder about whether or not the Celtics are a legitimate playoff contender anymore. You know, we've talked about this before. It's with Gordon Hayward, their ceiling is significantly higher. Without him, and he's not expected to play at any point this season, we weren't really convinced that they were a legitimate title contender, even though they started off the season as well as they did, and they had that long win streak. And obviously, they were able to hold the court on the Eastern Conference for most of the season, but they've slipped a little bit lately. They're going to continue to slip, I think. And now it's an interesting issue whether or not they face a team like Philadelphia or Milwaukee or Miami in the playoffs if they drop to the first, you know, whatever seeding they might have. And maybe they potentially could get knocked off in the first round of the playoffs, depending on what team they face. If they're, you know, concerned, if they continue to have these health issues, the Celtics may not make it out of the first round. So that's something that's definitely should be keeping an eye on.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. I agree 100% with you. Look, Kyrie, he's going to come back. He's a gamer. He knows the postseason. He'll be fine, right? Kyrie's going to be Kyrie. He'll do what he does. Jaylen Brown, you look at that concussion, you look at the injury he had. I think he's almost fortunate that he ended up with a concussion after that nasty fall he took. He should be okay. You know, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the podcast, but he should be fine. The interesting thing here is Theis and Marcus Smart, who are probably the two worst players out of that group, but probably would have their injuries might have the biggest impact. Theis, in particular, has done a nice job, especially on the defensive end, giving them a little bit of size and rim protection there. He can hit some threes on offense, but you look at a guy like Greg Monroe, who hasn't exactly worked out since signing in Boston, and now he's going to have to work out in Boston. They don't really have much of a choice outside of that. And then Marcus Smart, who, look, Lou Williams is running away with Sixth Man of the Year, but Marcus Smart should have gotten some votes, in my opinion. I mean, he was a huge for them off the bench, especially in an NBA right now that value shooting, and he can't shoot. And despite that, being able to have such an impact like he's able to have, that's going to be a tough loss on the defensive end for them. So, look, I think you're right. If they play Miami or the 76ers or somebody like that in the first round, it's not out of the question that they could lose. I mean, you look at their defense is going to be taking the biggest hit here. And if they were going to win in the playoffs, it was, you know, Kyrie gets the headlines, but if they were going to win, it was going to be because of their defense. This could be a real problem for them going into these final few games.
Absolutely.
So we'll preview the best games of Tuesday night, where several teams are poised to play a spoiler role for the postseason, speaking of the playoffs. But don't forget that in addition to Locked On NBA, the Locked On Podcast Network also has a daily show for your favorite NBA team. So go ahead and subscribe to your team's channel on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting app. By subscribing to both the Locked On NBA show and your favorite team show, you'll be covered with everything that you need to know. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. There's going to be 20 teams playing tonight, David. So 10 games total. A few of these games with major playoff implications potentially. And I guess the best way to start is just to sort of start with those games. And let's start with Indiana at Philadelphia. The Sixers are 1-1 versus Indiana this season. The Pacers right now holding on to the third seed in the East. Philadelphia squarely in the playoff picture. This could be an interesting. This could be a matchup in the playoffs. If the postseason were to start today.
No, it's interesting to think that Indiana has somehow managed to leapfrog past Cleveland and could potentially leapfrog. I don't think they can catch up to the Celtics at this point, but they've been impressive as hell lately. You know, 7-3 over their last 10 games, and just doing it without a lot of star power other than Victor Oladipo. So. You know, this should be an interesting game for Philadelphia. They're 6-4 in their last 10, so they need to be able to prove that they can contend against a team like the Pacers. You know, that it's again a preview of a potential playoff series. I'm curious to see how the matchup of Joel Embiid against you know, I don't even know who start Miles Turner is. He's their starting center for Indiana.
That's Thaddeus Young.
Yeah,
I mean, watch the Pacers, and you just see Victor Oladipo, and you see Lance Stephenson do some crazy stuff. It's crazy how that team is winning as much as they are, but they managed to. I mean, at what point do we start talking about
Nate McMillan? Yeah, absolutely, he's a legitimate. Yeah, he's a legitimate candidate. I feel like we're kind of not giving the Pacers their due, and if we apologize to any Pacers fans out there, but I feel like the narrative at the start of the season has kind of dogged everybody's perception. Like, I mean, it's certainly tailored mine. I just don't know if I can trust the Pacers as a legitimate playoff team, considering the fact that I don't know anybody who expected them to be even over 500, to be honest with you. So
I keep not trusting them, and they keep rising higher in the playoffs. Let's move on to our next game. It's Minnesota at Washington. A game between different conferences, right? But both teams squarely in the mix in their respective playoff pictures. The Minnesota Timberwolves, of course, are coming off that impressive win against Golden State. The Wizards beating the Miami Heat, or losing to the Miami Heat in a pretty bad loss. But right. Both teams are in the playoff picture. They've been inconsistent. It's kind of like Minnesota is the Washington of the West. Washington is like the Minnesota of the East. I kind of look at it that way. Both teams, of course, will still be without some of their key players, Washington without John Wall, Minnesota without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns had a monster game against the Warriors, so I would expect him to be able to dominate his matchup with Marcin Gortat. So it'll be up to Bradley Beal to carry the Wizards. They're going to be at home, so that's a boost for Washington's chances there. They're trying to hold on to their current, I believe they're the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference right now. With a win, they would surpass the Cleveland Cavaliers if the Cavaliers lose that night. So that's an interesting one there. Both Cleveland and Washington fighting or playing that night. So a win for Washington and a loss for Cleveland. All of a sudden, Washington has home court advantage.
Another game in the West with some major playoff implications. Denver versus Los Angeles. Both teams, the Nuggets and Lakers, currently, as it stands now, on the outside looking in. But if Denver were to beat the Lakers, they would leap into the playoff picture here, or at least, yeah, they would be at 38-30. That would vault them over Utah and put them right in that mix with the Clippers for the final playoff spot.
Absolutely. Look, it's a 10:30 game on NBA TV. It's an exciting matchup in LA. Denver is 2-1 versus the Lakers this season, so this is the fourth and final matchup here. But there's an added factor, an added drama here where the Nuggets, Jamal Murray, their starting guard, having talked some trash in the most recent matchup against the Lakers. Lakers fans and the players themselves are furious. Their head coach, Luke Walton, had some choice words for Jamal Murray after the game there. Lonzo Ball got into it a little bit with Murray. So there's definitely some tension there, and it's probably going to spill out on Tuesday night's matchup as well. So I would expect a fight. I wouldn't be surprised.
Who are the guys? If you're predicting.
I think Murray's going to get into it with Ball actually, you know, isn't much of a fighter. At least he said it wasn't. But at the same time, I would expect him to finally get into it and show a little passion out on the floor.
I think Murray starts to get in a scuffle. And then Nikola Jokic, as the imposer that he should be, comes in on his defense. And then coming in for Lonzo Ball is the one and only LeVar Ball. And we get a LeVar versus Jokic.
Off the top ropes.
On the ropes. I think that's what happens here. So look forward to that. Denver at Los Angeles should be a good game.
Absolutely.
The Jokic versus LeVar brawl notwithstanding. Some other notable games tonight. Detroit playing in Utah. The Jazz competing for the eighth seed. They've won 8 of the last 10 games. The Jazz, I would imagine, should handle this game.
Yeah, Detroit's hasn't been very good lately. The Blake Griffin trade hasn't really done much to change their ability to stay consistent. They're running a lot of offense through Griffin, but it's not necessarily working. They're still without Reggie Jackson and just, I think, waiting for the season to end and whether or not Stan Van Gundy has a job at the end of the season.
Yeah, good call. And then our final game, Cleveland at Phoenix. The Cavaliers, look, they've been struggling despite all the trades that they've made. The defense doesn't necessarily look fixed. They're without Rodney Hood still. But if you're Cleveland, you're looking at that LeBron James-Larry Nance pairing as something of a silver lining. Phoenix, they are actively trying to lose games. So Cleveland, because of that, really should end up with the win here too. Cavs still trying to move up in the Eastern Conference. You know, they don't want to drop to anything lower than fourth. And if you're a Cleveland fan, that's certainly what you're worried about is losing home court in the first round.
Yeah. But, you know, like we said at the start of the segment, a number of teams, Phoenix against Cleveland, Orlando facing San Antonio on the second night of a back-to-back, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Chicago, all these losing teams that are cellar dwellers all have a chance to knock off a playoff-bound team at this point and impact the standing. So while they may not necessarily be playing for anything other than more ping-pong balls in the upcoming draft lottery, for now, they could also impact what teams make it to the playoffs or how far they go in the standings. So it should be a really fun one. Look, it's just late season activity here where every game has an impact. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
That's all we have for today. You can subscribe to Locked On NBA on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next Tuesday. John Corrales and Jake Madison got you on Locked On NBA tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.